Welcome to the What's Next Compeer Financial podcast series. Listen how Compeer is committed to serving agriculture and rural America.
In light of COVID-19, this week we are looking at what's next for the direct impacts to grain prices. Our guest for this episode is Glenn Wachtler, a financial officer with Compeer Financial.
Glenn, let's begin the conversation by looking at how the COVID-19 pandemic has impacted grain prices.
Well, Mark, remember back to 2019, before anyone or virtually anyone had heard of coronavirus, there was a strong basis. We were coming off a pretty good June and July for grain prices. It was a little stronger then. People got some catch-up marketing done. And then around December 1st, the corn prices were strong, but that basis was really nice for that time of year. And the futures were about 370, and people had a lot of optimism in the grain markets. And in December, we were looking forward to a new year. We thought a trade deal with China was coming, and really were thinking that the markets were pretty strong. Ethanol was really carrying its weight and doing pretty well. Corn was disappearing, and in general, the farmers were feeling pretty good back in December 2019. And then a little thing called the coronavirus showed up in China. And at first, not really a threat, we thought. But as we found out later, it sure was, Mark.
The optimism for a trade deal with China going into 2020, and we saw that come to fruition early in the year. So what kind of volatility did we see, Glenn, between when phase one was signed and COVID reached the U.S.?
Well, that phase one, like I had mentioned, we were pretty good prices back in July of 2019 and December. We were holding our own at about 370. And when the coronavirus hit, corn prices on the futures, at least, we dipped nearly 60 cents in quite a hurry. So that was really a shock to the system. And it was even more in some places with the basis. People stopped driving. The ethanol industry quickly turned down with overcapacity, and the gas blending was really off, and ethanol plants had to shut down entirely in a lot of circumstances. So that took a lot out of both the corn futures prices and the basis that we were dealing with.
How would you summarize what we saw from a marketing standpoint through the summer months? Obviously, we had impact of COVID, direct effect with ethanol and demand usage there, but certainly weather, I'm sure there were a number of factors.
Right. A lot of good marketers end up marketing their grain, where they've done a pretty good job just simply by selling in May and June. That's the seasonal high of the markets, and maybe rolling their storage hedges into those months. And it's been a really good strategy all along. So when something like coronavirus hits, and that main time frame isn't there to market as it was the year prior, and maybe even 2 years prior, that's been a really good time to market. It hurt a lot of people. And we, right now, for this new crop, are sold about as little as I remember going into there. A lot of times, producers will have a third to a half of their crop hedged coming into this fall harvest season. And with that coronavirus, we were really light on marketing. I've got a few clients that have 10%, maybe 15% of their crop sold, but really not more than that. That opportunity this year with the coronavirus was really not there. So that's been a real challenge, especially for even those really good grain marketers. There hasn't been much of an opportunity to manage the risk. And we just watched those prices go down. And like every other industry, farming was no different. We haven't experienced this. Just never had a pandemic before to deal with. And that's why they call it risk management. You don't know what's around the corner, but really, we need to be prepared for almost anything.
You mentioned that we didn't get that June-July rally that we've become accustomed to. Instead, we saw prices strength kind of at a time where typically we set harvest lows, and I'm sure that's thrown a monkey wrench in marketing plans too, but certainly welcome to see price improvement.
Sure. With the exception of some people managing risk may have sold their soybeans a little early. And I have been guilty of thinking that a $9 soybean price was good enough and we could come close to making money. But here we see a rally into harvest, and nobody is looking the other way to this rally. There are people selling into it and covering some risks. So it is it's much needed. Hopefully it's the bounce that everybody was kind of waiting, holding their breath for. I know June, July this year, talking to producers, when we should have had stronger prices, is some of them were pretty down about their marketing plans and the prospects for the farm income this year. That was before any CFAP assistance was, or the second round of CFAP assistance was announced. So really, we were looking at some pretty tough times, and this rally came at the right time. So it is helping a little bit. We have to remember there are quite a few farms out there with maybe affected by the wind damage. The ratio in Iowa and some other drought issues are certainly coming to play. But there is a little optimism when the prices go up, that's for certain. And hopefully those farms that are affected by the weather this year, Mark, can come through and live to fight another day here.
Yeah, how would you categorize the market impact of the derecho? Primarily in Iowa, millions of acres affected with corn down, not a lot of it salvageable. What kind of an impact has that had?
It definitely has an impact. I think if you look right now, basis in some of those areas affected on corn at the ethanol plants, it's really narrow right now, and that's saying that the ethanol plants want the corn. They want to be covered. They want to be able to blend fuels in case of that increased demand. People are back driving, working at exporting some ethanol. So it is increasing those prices a little bit. That being said, producers in that area are scrambling to rebuild the crop insurance payments. They do certainly help, but no one feels whole when they get through a lost season, and they'll have harvest challenges and agronomy challenges for the next year. So it's going to be a long term impact in that area, and really hopefully this little bit of higher price and strengthening basis can help them in the future, but right now it certainly is a struggle, and they are still feeling challenged. The weather here lately has been helping, but that is always a question mark. We've entered into a La Nina pattern, and that can be hit or miss, as you know, Mark.
Well, you've given us some really good context as far as what's been driving the market the last year or so. The million-dollar question, Glenn, is what's going to happen in 2021 with prices? And I don't know how you want to go about answering that question, because nobody could have predicted what we've seen here in 2020. But what are some indicators they're looking at? And you mentioned La Nina and weather, moisture certainly would be one consideration. But what else are you really looking at here as we put together marketing plans for the next year?
Sure. And I don't have a crystal ball, and really we've seen a lot of projections that just by last year we know what happened, and it is hard to predict, and the weather certainly plays a big part in it, like you mentioned, Mark. The La Nina pattern means it's dry in the south and creeping up through the Midwest into the Corn Belt area. A lot of areas this fall are going in with a short soil moisture profile. That's concerning in the Midwest. You look at Brazil, they are behind on their planting pace of soybeans because of their soil moisture. They need some moisture to put in those beans. So this La Nina pattern is something big to watch. The Also, the trade deal that we have with China, that is certainly on the radar screen. They have started to come through on those commitments that could really help us. In the last few years, China had really light up on some of their excess reserves of corn, and they're finding out that their corn crop is not enough to carry them through. So they're a little bit more willing to import corn with this trade package. They have an awful lot of ag products to import. So we're really quite optimistic that both the corn and beans, especially given the weather patterns, they will start to really ramp up and keep the strength going that we've seen. So weather, the trade with China, ethanol hopefully is make a rebound here. We've seen production increase already, probably even more than what the driving patterns have been. Countries are adopting renewable fuel, and ethanol hopefully can keep benefiting. Other countries are building ethanol plants as we speak, and the demand is there worldwide. So really a lot of good factors out there, Mark. As long as we don't get hit by some unforeseen circumstance, I guess.
Well, let's really drill down on risk management. And from a Compeer perspective, how the company comes alongside producers to help them with their marketing strategy, looking at, you know, cost of production, all those different factors, and what resources are available through Compeer.
Sure. This last year was as good of an example as you could get why you need a risk management plan. Something comes out of left field. And that starts with knowing what your break even is. That's the oldest adage in the book, but we really do believe it. We talk margins, and we have a tool here called the Margin Manager, and that's available for download. You can download that off of compeer.com under the grain page, and that will help producers figure out what their exact break even costs are, including family living and machinery and equipment costs. It has a number of calculators behind it to help you figure out each category. So getting down to those break-even costs are important. And as we go through the marketing year, finding a way to market that grain above your break-even is really the key to risk management. And we call it the risk management instead of just grain marketing, and that drives home the fact that we are managing risk in case something like what happened here in late 2019 and early 2020 happens, we have some covered. And we need to sell the significant rallies again, as what last year was heading into this spring period. We have to take advantage of these higher prices while we have them, and get significant piece of our marketing plan executed. We also have a number of crop insurance products to go with it. That's the other piece of risk management. And again, I hate to sound like a broken record, but that came to light in 2020. Those people are sure thankful they had crop insurance when we have zeroed out fields and disking down acres. That really stands out as key here, what we can do from a risk management standpoint with our crop insurance. And any bushels that are sold, now the price has gone up, any bushels that are sold, these producers are getting a little higher fall price for those bushels. And that's really going to help them as well, too. It makes the producer feel comfortable that they can sell their bushels. And if the price goes up, their crop insurance payment gets a little higher, too. So in general, follow these rallies up and be current on your marketing. There is still coronavirus in the market. There's still the trade deal with China. It's right now looking very promising, but we know a deal is a deal, and it is until it isn't. So we want to be very judicious on our marketing and current on our marketing. That has been the story the last few years. When the prices rally, take advantage of it, and we can concentrate on getting back to growing a nice crop. If Mother Nature cooperates, we can really make our profits having bushels above our break even and concentrate on growing a big crop. That's what everybody is out there to do. They love bringing home the big crops and the marketing maybe not so much. So get some risk hedged out of the way, and it's a lot of fun when we do have a big crop, and it's also a much better feeling when you do have that crop insurance in case things don't turn out the way that you thought.
Where would you point our listeners that would like to use Compeer to dig deeper into the topics we've been discussing today?
Yeah, I would point them to compeer.com. And much of what I had been talking about in some interesting articles are on compeer.com. Producers can go out there and look at the grain page. You'll find a number of articles. Other livestock and milk producers can find articles pertinent to risk management and other financial topics out there. And hopefully they get some value or talk to your financial officer like myself. And we'll be happy to talk through what we're seeing in the industry and how some of our producers have been successful in managing through these tough times. Just encourage them to talk to a financial officer and go out to compeer.com.
Tune in next month for our last episode, What's Next for Direct-to-Consumer Agriculture.
Compeer Financial, committed to serving agriculture and rural America. Learn more at compeer.com.